You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You are now listening to the Dynasty Rewind.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Dynasty Rewind. I am your host, Michael Bauer, the best in the business. Once again, back in business, joined as always by my faithful co-host, Nate, the Professor Christian. What's up, Nate?
What's up, Mike? You know, it's been beautiful around these days. It's been warm the last couple of days. We've had some not free agency start yet, but the prelude to free agency with the franchise tags and some players signing extensions, Mike Evans sticking on the Bucks, things like that. Starting to get that excitement.
Dalton Schultz, 3-year extension with the Texans, which I think is a great move for both the Texans and Dalton Schultz. Russell Wilson will be a free agent as well.
Yeah.
So kind of interesting.
The most important thing, Mike, is the NFL Combine. It was just this past weekend.
It was. Do you have any takeaways from the Combine before we dive in, Nate?
My biggest takeaway is this wide receiver class is one of the most athletic wide receiver classes we've ever seen. It is just beyond impressive what they did. 9 wide receivers ran under a 4.4, Mike. Mm.
Beautiful.
It's fast.
That's amazing. So I did see, didn't Xavier Worthy break John Ross's record?
Sure did. 4.21.
I love how you go on social media and people immediately start labeling a bust because of the, it's like, guys, come on. What are we doing here? You know, they make those connections and you know, as well as I do, I hate the whole narrative thing, stuff like that. But you know, one thing I don't hate narrative wise are rankings. I think we all think that rankings are very important. It's how we view these players, how we view the class as a whole. So today we're going to be talking about our post combine updated tiered rookie rankings. We do tiered rankings at the Dynasty Rewind. If you want access to our full rankings, patreon.com/Dynasty Rewind. We're also offering free 7-day trials right now. So come hang out for a week. Also, if you're listening to this, we are postponing our Patreon podcast for a day or so. Nate and I have been a little under the weather, but we're here regardless. Going to crank out a few pods tonight and go from there, see how it goes. So Nate, let's start with tier one. Tier one's small, but that's okay.
It is, because there's not many players like the guys that are in tier one. Number one, Caleb Williams, a truly impressive quarterback prospect. There's been a lot of discourse over the past couple months of prospect fatigue with Caleb Williams and the fact that he played in a terrible USC offense where he was always chasing 40-plus points a game. That defense gave up over 40 points a game, Mike. And Caleb Williams out there looking like he's playing hero ball. I wonder why. Because he didn't have the wide receivers that he was used to having when he was at Oklahoma or the year before with Jordan Addison at USC.
Yeah.
No offense to Brendan Rice and Taj Washington, but right now both those guys are day three picks. So Caleb Williams, what you look at for the full career in college and the intangibles that he shows and that off-script ability, he is deserving of being the quarterback one. He is the 101 in all my super flex mocks that I would do, any draft I would do. Caleb Williams, write it down, quarterback one. It's still there. It's in stone throughout the draft. Now, the other guy who I feel pretty similar about is Marvin Harrison Jr. at the wide receiver position. Another guy who just has put together such an impressive career in college. Did not play this year with a quarterback like he played last year with T.J. Stroud. Still put together a still impressive season for Ohio State and catching passes from Kyle McCord, who was another quarterback at Syracuse, Mike. Syracuse. Just say.
I mean, so, it's not necessarily a death sentence going to Syracuse.
It's not the worst thing. But
not the best either.
It's not the best either. So Marvin Harrison Jr., another guy. I know there's been some discourse about him, and I think some prospect fatigue has set in about Marvin Harrison Jr. And that's no offense at all to Malik Nabers, but I think Marvin Harrison Jr., the what he's put on throughout his career has been really impressive. You got to take that into account. And also the bloodlines. You know I love the bloodlines, Mike. It means something. It really does. Even if it's just minuscule, it just gives you that little extra edge. So tier one, those are my two prospects that you could label as generational. If you don't want to throw the term around, near generational, both of them very good.
Yeah, I don't hate this at all. And, you know, bloodlines are a thing. So if Ryan Leaf's son ever plays college football, comes in the NFL, we know he's got that lineage to be fantastic. I can't disagree with this tier at all. I mean, I don't want to say it's chalk or it's cut and dry, but I think we're far enough along in the process that we know what the tier one is. You know, some people they're going to argue, for, like you said, from Lake Nabers, Nabers can't talk. And there's also the Jaden Daniels contingent out there. Some people are kind of pounding the drum for him to be quarterback one. But I do think what you made a great point about Caleb Williams. It's not his fault that the defense was atrocious at UFC. Yeah, he only plays one side of the ball. This isn't the 1930s when guys would be out there for all 60 minutes. Nate, let's move on to what's that?
Well, I just want to say that both of these guys come into the NFL top 10 in their position in Dynasty. Marvin Harrison, you could argue possibly top five if he has a really nice landing spot.
Yeah. Do you have a preferred landing spot for Marvin Harrison?
You know, I like the Cardinals a lot as a landing spot. That seems like the mock lock right now for Marvin Harrison Jr. And, you know, being the wide receiver one for Kyler Murray moving forward in a dome, I don't dislike that at all. That sounds really
nice. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins put up some good numbers.
He did. He sure did. I would be more than happy to see Marvin Harrison Jr. be there.
And DeAndre Hopkins putting up some good numbers in Tennessee last year as well, oddly enough. So, yeah, I would love to see Marvin Harrison Jr. And Caleb Williams, I think he's a guy who's kind of landing spot proof, personally. Unfortunately, it's going to be a bad team. Chicago, Washington, maybe. Who knows as of this point. Let's move on to tier two. Nate, who is in your tier two of players here?
All right. We got another quarterback in here, Drake May. Mike, is Drake May still your quarterback one?
It's close. I think I'm leaning more towards Caleb Williams right now, though. Okay. But like I said, it's close. And I like both of these guys as prospects. And I don't think we have a perfect quarterback prospect right now.
Yeah. So Drake May, though, he's got the big arm. He's got the athleticism. You know, he's been compared to, you know, Justin Herbert with his arm and his athleticism, ability to move around in the pocket. This is another guy that has put on multiple years of film that we've seen him be an impressive quarterback. And this year, he didn't have the wide receiver talent he even had last year. There's a common trend with these guys at the top that we're seeing some prospect fatigue on is they still performed really well this year, but usually with less talent around them. And that's actually pretty impressive to, you know, keep up similar numbers and have less talent around you. You know, Drake May lost Josh Downs. Devontae Walker came in, but he came in halfway through the season and didn't really get to work much with the team, wasn't really part of the offense, you know, because they didn't know if they could even have him play the season. So that offense was not what it was, you know, the year before when he came on and had his breakout year. So all that to be said, Drake May, still my quarterback too. I think he's still kind of in a different tier than the next couple quarterbacks. They're in the spoiler alert. These other quarterbacks are not in this tier with Drake May. This is the only quarterback in tier two for me. And it's testament to Drake May and his athleticism, his ability to read the defense and make the throws in the intermediate areas of the field, which is really impressive and can make the difference for you at the NFL. And it's also a testament to the wide receivers in this tier, Mike. Because in this tier, I have Malik Nabers, and I also have Romo Dunze. Yes. And both of these wide receivers, they are close to that tier one. But not quite, but it puts them here in this tier two, and this tier two is really, really good. And that's why I was saying it's a testament to Drake May and his ability to be in this tier, but also these wide receivers. You know, I would take them over some of these other quarterbacks, you know, being team dependent wise, but I would take them over some of these other quarterbacks in this draft just because of how good I feel about their chances at being a top 12 wide receiver in Dynasty, being able to put up 20 something fantasy points in a week and being true cornerstones to build my wide receiver position around and my Dynasty team around. And the other quarterbacks, you know, it's unlikely, you know, we might see four or five quarterbacks go in the first round this year. it's unlikely all of them pan out. We saw five quarterbacks go in the first round a couple years ago, Mike. And, you know, for some of them, it really hasn't panned out. Trey Lance, it's Mac true. Jones. It's tough sometimes. So, yeah. Neighbors and Adunze, though, top quality wide receivers. Neighbors, his athleticism and what he did at LSU this year, certainly should have been the Blinnikoff winner in my eyes. Marvin Harrison Jr. did win that. And then Romo Adunze, I feel like one of the most pro-ready players in this draft, just not physically, but also mentally. You know, I don't know if you saw, but at the combine, he was out there running the three cone drill after everyone had left because he was trying to get his target of 6.6, but he just couldn't quite get it. So he was out there trying. Everything that we've heard about Romo Adunze is that he is a pro's pro. He is all up there above the shoulders. And I love seeing a guy like that who competes at the highest level and has that, you know, that drive. And with his ability and all-around athleticism, I feel so good about that guy being a top wide receiver.
Yeah, and it's funny because when you look at ADP, our Dynasty Rewind ADP, the lowest of this tier is Romo Adunze. You're forgetting someone here. Just to recap, your tier two, we got Drake May, Malik Neighbors, and Romo Adunze. Nate, a lot of people would say that you're neglecting Jaden Daniels here, but he is in your next tier. So why don't we move on to your next tier and you could explain why he's here and not a little bit higher.
Sure. Yeah. So this is my tier three, and this kind of tier three, it rounds out our larger tier of the first 8-9 picks, depending on maybe some of your drafts, but like the top 8 picks in your first round, this is like the tier you want to be in. And it's broken down for me into these three tiers. And this is the third tier of that larger tier. And it's Jaden Daniels, who I think is a very athletic quarterback. He showed off a really good arm and accuracy this year with LSU, but I'm a little bit worried about, you know, it taking a while for him to get to this point. He did put up a Heisman season, so, you know, like I said, I still have this guy very highly rated, but some more question marks as it took him a while to get to this point. This was his best season by far. Like we've talked about, how, you know, the stats from this year, you don't really see them across any other season. He never had the production that we saw this year with LSU. While he certainly helped raise the stock of the wide receivers at LSU, there's two first-round wide receivers he was throwing to. So, you know, a lot of talent around him. You know, not something we necessarily said about some of these other quarterbacks we talked about already. So, you know, with Jaden Daniels, I still think there's a ton of upside with him, especially with his rushing ability in fantasy football, and that keeps him in this top tier for me. And the fact that it sounds like he's probably going to be a top five pick. I like that kind of upside. I like that investment. I'm definitely going to keep him in this tier, but there's another quarterback that's entered the chat, Mike. J.J. McCarthy.
This is our riser right here. I mean, he was not considered this pre-combine by a lot of people, but look at him moving up your tiers.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I was talking about a month ago, you know, being like a top 15 pick, you know, trying to tell people that, hey, J.J. McCarthy is on the move. He's moving up the board. I don't know if I saw him this high after the combine. Rumor has it some teams, you know, not only have him as their, you know, quarterback three in the draft, they might have him as their quarterback two, even quarterback one. There's, you know, there's top five rumors around J.J. McCarthy right now. There's rumors that the NFL draft could go 1, 2, 3, 4, quarterback, Mike. Whatever it ends up being, it sure sounds like J.J. McCarthy is not just a top 15 pick at this point. He's a top 10 pick, possibly a top five pick.
I mean, when you look at the draft order, in order, Bears need a quarterback, Commanders, the Patriots, that's questionable. The Cardinals don't. I think they're sticking with Kyler Murray. The Chargers don't. The Giants, we're hearing all these rumors now about how Daniel Jones was a mistake. They're moving on. The Titans, we don't know if Will Levis is it yet. The Falcons definitely need one. Then the Bears are on again at 9. And then after that, you know, we got the Vikings at 11 and the Broncos at 12 and the Raiders at 13. Yeah. So I could see there being a lot of quarterbacks going off the board quite early.
Yeah, and you see that Vikings, Broncos, Raiders spot right there? That seems like a prime spot for, you know, that was where we were looking at J.J. McCarthy like last month.
Yeah.
But at this point, it sounds like one of those three teams is going to have to move up into the top 10 if they want a chance at J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, and that's fantastic. I mean, if he gets this high draft capital, I wonder if he gets a higher draft capital, top 10 draft capital, if he bounces any one of these other quarterbacks out.
I think in some drafts, you're definitely going to see him be the quarterback three, quarterback two. Awesome. It's gonna become like a pick your flavor kind of thing at the quarterback position this year, I think. Yeah. But between what you think of the player themselves as well as the situation around them. You know, it's obviously a bit different going to the Raiders, where you might have Josh Jacobs, Jacoby Myers, Davante Adams around you, or going to the Broncos, where you have Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton. You know, they're fun little receivers themselves, but not quite Davante Adams. Greg Dulcich is there.
Marvin Mims, come on.
Hey, you know, they've definitely got some talent.
They do.
But, you know, I do find it very interesting, and I like J.J. McCarthy as a prospect as well. I know that there's question marks. Maybe a lot wasn't asked of him very often, but he delivered consistently whenever anything was asked of him. And from everything we've heard from Jim Harbaugh, he's a pro's pro as well, incredible mentality. Sounds like teams love him and love the tools that he has. He's young. He's a winner. Teams love that, and I like it too, Mike, to be honest. So,
I mean, if your NFL team needs a quarterback, this year's a really good time. Did he want to try like the Kenny Pickett and Malik Willis and Matt Corral was in that one too, oh, right?
Yes. Yep.
Wasn't Brock Purdy in that draft class too?
Oh yeah. He was. Yeah. He was the best quarterback in the draft class. The best.
Who would have thought, right? You want to round out this tier for us, Nate?
I do. One last player I'm sure everyone knows who we haven't talked about at this point, and it is the tight end Brock Bowers. He did not run at the combine. He did weigh in. He weighed in enough for me. You know, there were some questions like him standing next to Gronk. He looked small next to Gronk. Most tight ends, even in the NFL, look small next to Gronk. Gronk was a large tight end. Yeah. He's like 6'6", 265. That is above average for an NFL tight end. A lot of tight ends these days are about 6'4", 245, which is basically, I believe, exactly what Jatavion Sanders weighed in as.
You nailed it, by the way. 6'6", 265 is his official listing.
He's a big guy.
From Churchill, Pennsylvania.
How about that?
It's the western part of Pennsylvania, for those of you who don't know, like me, because I didn't know until now. But I'm sorry, Nate, proceed.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. No, I always love learning about Pennsylvania landscape and geography, so I appreciate it.
We have a lot of trees.
Lots of trees and hills. True. And Amish.
Yes, that is true.
But that's rounding out tier three. Brock Bowers, I think, is going to come in. You know, he's obviously going to be a top 10 tight end in your dynasty right away, probably top five for some people. It's going to depend a little bit on landing spot and draft capital. Is he that top 10 pick? Is he more of a top 20 pick? He's kind of been all over the board in mock drafts. I've seen anywhere from 6, 7, 8 all the way down to like 18, which is to the Bengals. So, you know, if he goes to the Bengals, you're feeling pretty good about that landing spot. So whether you not have a tight end premium or not, if you have a tight end premium, you can move him up probably in the tier two with a good landing spot. But without the tight end premium, I still think you have to keep him in this top tier, this top large tier of eight guys, because he's basically a wide receiver playing tight end. And I think he's going to put a production kind of similar to that.
Yeah. All right, Nate, let's move it on to tier number four, another smaller tier, but that's okay. I want to recap this last tier though. We got Jaden Daniels. We got J.J. McCarthy and Brock Bowers. But now moving on, I got a question for you right in the middle of this tier here. We'll get there, but who do you got in tier four?
Yeah, this is a fun tier for me. I got Brian Thomas Jr., who I think really solidified himself as the wide receiver four in this draft class for me with a really impressive showing at the combine. I believe he ran a 4.35, Mike. I think he might have had over 40 inches on the vertical as well, which those two numbers look really good for me, especially when he comes in 6'2", 205 pounds. Brian Thomas Jr., I like the tape. I like the showing he had at the combine. I like the measurables. Everything keeps checking the boxes, and his pre-draft process has just continued to go great, I would say. And he's kind of another player that with this consistent performance over the pre-draft process has risen up boards and risen up mocks as well, where he started out the pre-draft process kind of in the mid to late 20s, end of the first round. Now we're seeing him in the teens, which, Mike, there's a lot of wide receivers in this free agency class are getting franchise tagged or extended. And the wide receiver free agent market is not what it was just a couple weeks ago. And what that means is that if you want to find a wide receiver for your young quarterback that you've invested in, it's going to have to be in the draft, which is going to just create more and more demand for these wide receivers. We've already seen them flying off the boards the last couple of years. Rumors we might have another 7, 8, 9 wide receivers in this year's first round. We're going to see a lot of first-round wide receivers, I think. And, you know, if Brian Thomas is one of 6, 7 wide receivers, it just goes to show how impressive this class is. But I still think that he, at this point, he's looking like a top 15 pick. I'm not sure where he's going, but I think it's going to be a really good spot where he can, you know, be a contributor for an offense?
Let's move on, because this is the question mark I have.
Yeah, it's a good one. Ladd McConkey. Ladd McConkey here in my tier four. I'm a big McConkey-tonk fan, man.
I can see that.
Ladd, he's got a very impressive yards per route run. He was eighth in the NCAA in yards per route run. And he showed his athleticism, really showed his athleticism at the NFL Combine, ran a 4.39. Mike, one of the nine wide receivers to run under a 4.4. And his ability to play inside, outside, create yards after the catch. He is really a wide receiver that, for me, does it all. Just had some health issues that came up while he was at Georgia, kind of kept him off the field. But if he clears the medicals and he gets the draft capital that I'm expecting him to get, like right now I'm thinking like early second. But I was just talking about possibly 7-8 wide receivers in the first round. If that happens, Ladd McConkey could be one of those at the back half of the first round.
It's true.
I think you look at the film, you look at the analytics, and you take the name Ladd McConkey out of it, and he has every right to arguably be in this tier. I'm going to put him there.
I see your logic. I just think it's a bit rich for me personally. But you are a man of your convictions, so, you know. But we got our first running back sighting here, Nate.
We do. Jonathan Brooks, who's my RB1.
Bad running back class.
Bad running back class. Well, I mean, it took us, what, about 10, 11 picks to get to a running back here?
We're towards the end of the first round here, we can say in most hard drives.
And Jonathan Brooks is the only running back in this draft class that I'm going to be really into no matter the landing spot.
Okay, I get it.
And that's just how I'm going to describe the fact that he is the RB1 in this class. He shows the fact that he can be the best all-around running back to me. He offers the most to a team to be able to handle multiple roles out of a backfield, be able to handle volume, and be able to be someone that an offense can rely upon, not just be a role player within a team, be a player that, you know, plays a part, but Jonathan Brooks, you can kind of build an offense around, I think. So with that, that makes him my RB1. That puts him into this top tier before we get to any other running backs. And I know there's the ACL injury, but talking to Jonathan Brooks, not myself, but reporters at the Combine, he reported that he would be ready by training camp. So interesting. I love hearing the sound of that. Sounds like everything's going pretty well. Remember, the Dallas Cowboys team doctors did do the knee surgery for Jonathan Brooks. So he had the top guys doing this surgery. It's a little bit different. I mean, sure, University of Texas probably has some really good doctors themselves. But Jonathan Brooks seems like he's wheels up through this pre-draft process, even though he's not testing.
And the Dallas Cowboys do pick a 24. I don't know if they would take him there, but
I don't think so. Don't think we're going to see a first-round running back this year.
You don't think?
No.
It's always possible.
But maybe if Brooks didn't get injured, I think we'd have a possibility. But overall, I think we're not seeing any running back until the second round, probably mid-second round.
Okay.
At least.
Let's recap tier four. We have Brian Thomas Jr., Ladd McConkey, and Jonathan Brooks. Nate, your biggest faller, I think we can say this is your personal biggest faller, is in tier five. Is your heart breaking a little bit?
A little bit. You know, with the rise of J.J. McCarthy, it's unfortunately kicked out Bo Nix as the quarterback four in this draft class. And honestly, has put his first-round draft capital on shaky ground. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not sure if we see five quarterbacks in the first round. I still think there's plenty of chance of that, because if we see four of them go in the first 10 picks, first five picks, then there's a lot of picks before the second round that there could be a quarterback picked up. And there's a lot of quarterback needy teams. So I keep Bo Nix here in tier five with some pretty good wide receivers, because I still think there's a chance that Bo Nix has first-round draft capital. Now, there's not another quarterback in this tier. So spoiler alert, Michael Penix Jr. is not here with Bo Nix. I don't think Michael Penix Jr. is a first-round quarterback. Between his age, his injury history, and the film, I think he's a really good college quarterback who has some NFL upside, but I think he's a second-round quarterback. I think Bo Nix still has that potential to be a first-round quarterback. And with that, if he gets that draft capital, he is sitting here at tier five for me, maybe back in the tier four. If he doesn't get it and he's a day two pick, he might be falling down another tier. He's kind of here in the middle for me right now as we're trying to see what's going to happen.
Let me ask you this then. If both Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. are day two picks, would you be inclined to lean more one way than the other?
I would still prefer Bo Nix myself, personally.
Okay. All right. So the next guy you have on here is somebody, actually the next two receivers I would probably prefer over Ladd McConkey. But why don't you talk about our next wide receiver that we got here in this tier, Nate?
Yeah, I could see that. You know, it's not a large gap between these wide receivers from the last tier to this tier. There's a lot of talent in this class, but we got to pick it out somehow. And next up, I got Troy Franklin, Bo Nix's teammate out of Oregon. Impressive wide receiver who ran pretty much as fast as we thought he was going to run at the combine, but he just didn't do better than we thought. So because of that, he kind of took a step back in some people's mind.
Oh, so yeah, hey, I did exactly. He did exactly as we thought. So you suck now.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, but he didn't go out there and run like a low 4.3 and surprise us like some of these other guys did. You know, it's a shame if you know you can't keep up with the pack. If you can't impress, maybe you are falling behind. But, you know, we're going to do our best not to double count the NFL combine here. And Troy Franklin's fast. He proved he's fast. He's just not like elite fast, but he still has great game speed. He's still got good hands. He's still a good route runner. I still like Troy Franklin a good bit. And what he shows, I think he's a very good all-around wide receiver. Maybe not elite in different areas of his game, but I think he is someone that can be a really solid contributor for a team and probably really be like a top 36 wide receiver for your dynasty team. I think he has possible top 24 upside depending on the situation, but I think I would have him locked in as a top 36 wide receiver, honestly, with just his floor. I think it's a really good floor with Troy Franklin.
Speaking of running at the combine, a lot of people say that they should run with pads on.
It's interesting.
Makes sense.
At that point, why not just use the GPS data we have? Well, I mean, I guess it's a controlled environment. Yeah. I don't know. We could just completely change the combine if we wanted to at this point. It's starting to become a bit more useless, to be honest.
I think pro days, you get a better assessment of a lot of these players. And then you have players there that weren't necessarily invited to the combine. Quick story. There was a linebacker named, I think it was Mike McCoy for the Philadelphia Eagles. This was a long time ago. He ended up being a second round draft pick. Should not have been. He was not invited to the NFL scouting combine and he showed up anyway. And you know what they did, Nate? They sent him home because he had no reason to be there. So a little useless combine knowledge. Nate, you got two more guys in this tier. Tell us who they are.
I do. I got the fastest wide receiver in the football landscape right now, and that's Xavier Worthy. Ran a 4.21.
Catch the ball consistently.
He could catch the ball consistently. Hey, look, his drop rate went down this year, Mike, so maybe we're on the way there.
That is true.
One of my biggest question marks with Xavier Worthy, because he's shown us production since his freshman year, almost had 1,000 yards for Texas his freshman year, 18 years old playing in the Big 12. So Xavier Worthy's been a really good wide receiver for 3 years now in college. We haven't really seen him take that next step up. And that's going to be one of the questions as he goes into the NFL. You know, is he able to translate it and take that step up to be a really good NFL wide receiver? If not, I think you're still okay because he's really fast. And I think he's still got a pretty decent floor. You look at some of the other wide receivers that have run the 4.2s. I think Xavier Worthy's floor is a lot higher than a lot of those other guys. He's a much better prospect coming out. He's been much more productive than any of those guys that have run 4.2s, except outside of maybe Henry Ruggs. He was pretty productive at Alabama, but Xavier Worthy, more productive than even him. So I like Xavier Worthy a lot. Have him here as well as his teammate, Adonai Mitchell, Mike. Adonai Mitchell showed off in a really impressive athletic combine. Kind of looked like DK Metcalf out there with how he was running around. So these two wide receivers, very athletic. I don't know what Quinn Ewers was doing out there, why he couldn't put up bigger numbers with these guys he was throwing to, but I think NFL teams are going to like these guys.
Yeah. Have you seen Quinn Ewers' throwing motion?
Yes. It's a little Philip Rivers-esque.
Yeah. It's odd. So to recap tier five, we've got Bo Nix, Troy Franklin, Xavier Worthy, and Adonai Mitchell. And we'll be right back after this. So much of our focus here is protecting our assets in Dynasty, keeping the long-term vision in mind. Aura reflects this mindset with the most important assets in your life. Have you ever received a spam call or suspicious email? It's not just annoying, it's a sign of a much larger problem. Behind these unwanted communications are data brokers, websites that buy and sell your personal information without your consent. I recently did a search for my own name online and was shocked to find my information plastered across multiple data broker sites. That's when I realized just how vulnerable my online presence really was. Enter Aura. They're more than just an online security service. They're your personal bodyguard in the digital world. Aura actively identifies which data brokers are selling your info and takes swift action by sending opt-out requests on your behalf. Not only does this cut down on spam, but it also shields you and your loved ones from potential cyber threats and hackers. Think about it. Your address, email, health records, even details about your family are all out there for anyone to exploit. But Aura doesn't just stop at protection. They offer unparalleled convenience, too. With their comprehensive suite of tools, including antivirus, VPN, password management, and identity theft insurance, you can safeguard your online presence with ease from the app on your phone or desktop. It's like locking all your doors with one key. I've made the choice to take my online privacy seriously, and with Aura by my side, I have the peace of mind to focus on what truly matters. If you value your privacy as much as I do, don't wait any longer. Check out Aura today and take control of your online presence. Go to aura.com/dynastyrewind to start your 2-week free trial on us. The link will be in the description of this podcast. Don't wait. Protect yourself today. Nate, let's get right back into tier six. Hey, we got a Michael Penix sighting.
We do. Michael Penix Jr. is here. Someone that I actually am interested in if he is a second round pick as a kind of flyer. Right now, having where he is in my tier, this is a little bit baked in. Okay, there's a possibility he gets first round upside. If he doesn't, if he ends up being a second round pick, he's probably going to go down another tier for me just because there's already like four or five other quarterbacks in this draft class I'd rather pick up before him. But Michael Penix Jr., I think he's going to be at worst a second round pick. He keeps getting mocked to the Raiders. Not sure how I feel about that, but it could actually be a nice little pairing there. I think Michael Penix Jr. is going to start at some point. So I think he's worth a flyer. I put him here in the tier six with some running backs. Mike, we get to the running backs. And this is how I tier right now before the draft. We don't have draft capital. We don't have landing spots. So I threw three running backs in here because I kind of have them all in the same tier, and they haven't had draft capital and landing spots to pick them out and let me pick one over the other. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, this guy is certainly going to be better than this guy without knowing anything about their future, really, and where they're going to be. I don't feel that good about the differences in talent in this running back class. There's a lot of good talent all mixed in this class, and it's going to depend on what the NFL does with it before we know what to do with it. So starting off with this running back tier, you could call it, plus Michael Penix Jr. Trey Benson, Mike. You like Trey Benson a good bit yourself, and he showed up and showed out at the NFL Combine. You tell me why you like Trey Benson.
I mean, he's definitely more physical than I expected him to be. He's a pretty big dude. If I don't have his measurements in front of me, I believe he's 6 foot, over 220 pounds, if I'm correct. Again, I don't have his profile card right in front of me. One thing I like about Trey Benson, though, is he's an above average receiving back. I think that's something that doesn't get mentioned. I'm not saying he's going to be a three down running back because that seems to be going by the wayside, but I think he has the skill set to be a three down running back. And I love his game. I heard a lot of people talking about his vision wasn't that good. I didn't see that when I watched the film.
That's where I come into play with Trey Benson. I agree with basically everything you said, but then the vision is what gives me like a little red flag.
We'll have to watch some Trey Benson film together. How's that sound?
Yeah, we will have to do that. Should do that, Mike.
Okay.
All right. Well, we got Trey Benson in there. He's a home run hitter, man. That's for sure. He can break off some big plays. Also, we got maybe my favorite running back in the draft class, Marshawn Lloyd. I love Marshawn Lloyd. He's become an auto pick for me at the end of the second round in our mocks that we've been doing with the Patreon. And Marshawn Lloyd came in 5'8.5", 220 pounds. 25 reps on the bench press, Mike, and ran a 4.4. So Marshawn Lloyd, someone I'm a real big fan of, have been a big fan of, and he came into the combine and people took notice of it because let's be honest, this running back class didn't test that well overall. There was a lot of slow runners, a lot of guys that kind of disappointed. Marshawn Lloyd did the opposite of that. He looked impressive. He was fast and big. I think he might've locked himself into some day two draft capital, Mike.
Okay. I don't hate it. I think you might be a bit more of a Marshawn Lloyd fan than I am. There's a guy in your next tier that I would probably put over him, but we'll get there. But give me your last player in this tier. Probably, honestly, as much as I love Trey Benson, this guy's probably my favorite player that you have in this tier.
Yeah, I think this guy was a loser of the draft for a lot of people. But I dove into the stats, not too much for me. Bucky Irving out of Oregon. I still have him as one of my more favorite running backs in this class. His ability to make people miss, his lateral agility, his ability as a receiver to constantly be a threat out of the backfield, And he ran a slowish 40, Mike, we'll call it a 4.55, because he came in at 5.8. So you look at like the size, speed, stuff, and you're like, oh, it's a little slow for a guy who's that small. But you look at his 10-yard split. Mike, he ran a 1.54 10-yard split, which was among the best in the class. Bucky Irving is fast. He just doesn't have a lot of long speed. So he wasn't able to win the 40 because after 20 yards, he didn't really accelerate too much more. But that first 20 yards, that first 10 yards, that's where Bucky wins. And 98% of the time, that's all you ever need in a football play.
If you look at the way he plays, though, I feel like his play speed is much better.
Yeah, he's twitchy.
He is. So let's recap your sixth tier. You have Michael Penix Jr., Trey Benson, Marshawn Lloyd, and Bucky Irving. Nate, let's close it out with your seventh tier. Who do you got for us? Looks like your first player here was definitely a riser after the combine.
Yeah, he looked good at the combine. I was impressed because this is someone that we've talked about maybe not being impressive athletically, still tested well. And the farther that Blake Corum gets away from the injury, the better. And Blake Corum looked good at the combine. There's no questions about – he looked good all around. There's no questions about his vision for me. I think he's got pretty good vision. He used the Michigan offensive line pretty well. But for me, it's always been about the explosiveness and the fact that his missed tackles force really, really went down in 2023 after the knee injury. But, hey, you can come back from a knee injury. Sometimes it takes a year or two. So, you know, if this is him coming back out of that knee injury to be the player that he was before, then you're going to get a value in the draft most likely. So Blake Corum, he has moved up in my rankings. He's now here in tier 7 with a couple of the running backs. The next one, another riser, Mike, Jalen Wright out of Tennessee, who was one of the best this weekend at the combine, put up some of the best numbers in the 40-yard dash, the vertical, the broad jump, just an athletic freak. He has been getting the Alvin Kamara comps because they're both from Tennessee, I think, because I don't really see Alvin Kamara when I look at Jalen Wright.
I don't see that either.
I don't think he's on that tier of a running back. I like him, but don't let the Tennessee orange fool you into thinking he's Alvin Kamara. But very athletic, can break off some really big runs where no one's going to touch him and no one's going to catch him. So Jalen Wright, someone definitely moving my board for the running backs. And the last running back, Mike, I have in this tier, unfortunately did not run at the combine. I was a little disappointed, but Braylon Allen, he's been impressive throughout his entire career. We know he's super athletic. We know he's super strong. He's a big guy who's knocked over a lot of people on film, and he's also made a lot of noise in the gym room where, you know, you can go on Wisconsin's Twitter or their YouTube and you can see, you know, Braylon Allen squatting an unimaginable amount of weight as like a 17-year-old in their gym. It's pretty ridiculous. So I was a little disappointed not to see him run the 40. I thought that that would be really good for him, kind of have like an A.J. Dillon-esque combine. You know, you can remember, Mike, A.J. Dillon coming into the NFL combine. No one really talked about A.J. Dillon. You know, there's a couple of people that liked him in the fantasy community, but he was
out there.
He was looked as a couple tiers down at the running back position, came out, had an incredible 40 and incredible testing at the combine overall, at his weight especially. And came out of that, ended up being a day two pick. Now, I think Braylon Allen has been a lot better as a prospect than A.J. Dillon. But I don't know if Braylon Allen's locked in as a day two pick at this point. I think he has the talent, but I think there's questions about, you know, what's he going to give to you as a receiver? And in today's modern NFL, what is the value of a Braylon Allen? It might unfortunately just be a fourth rounder.
It's true. For the record, Nate,
interesting to see what happens.
It is interesting. I'm curious to see what happens here. Jalen Wright was the guy that I would have put up
over
Sean Lloyd, to just go back to that. But you got three more players left in this tier, and then we'll wrap it up.
Three more players, Mike. So Keon Coleman is my next guy here. And we've talked about Keon Coleman a whole bunch on this channel. Everywhere from him being in that top 12 in the first round in some of our mocks, where we were talking about why are we putting him in the first round. Now he's fallen to a bit better value, I think, where he really should be. And for me, that's somewhere like in the mid to almost late second round. He's got the athleticism. I know his 40 wasn't great, but his technique was awful. And that might be a red flag right there. But then he looked really good on the gauntlet. He ran like 20 miles an hour on the gauntlet, which was like best in the class. So, you know, play speed versus gym speed, you know, whatever you can worry about that if you really want to. Doesn't really change too much for Keon Coleman for me. I still think he's athletic, maybe a little, I don't want to say awkward, but not as smooth as you would want athletically, but still athletic. He's still learning the position. You know, he was a basketball player for a while too. So Keon Coleman, I like the upside there, but I just have enough question marks where it's keeping him down in this tier for me. And then Xavier Legette, who's, I could actually say a lot of the same things here for, found out this week that Xavier Legette actually was a former quarterback. Maybe that's why it took him 5 years to figure out the wide receiver position.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, so I found that out. Anyway, he's a guy that I really love the film for, love the measurables for, love the testing for. He is big and scary and strong, but it took him 5 years to figure out the wide receiver position. And that's just going to be a question mark that keeps him down here as well. I think both these guys have huge upside and could, you know, we look back 3 years from now, we could say, hey, these guys were steals at the back end of the second round. But we could also look back very easily, Mike. And I think these guys are very, you know, bustable players just with how their profiles are set up.
Yeah.
So, Mike, I will finish it off. The last player we have here, another tight end, our second tight end of the day, and that's Jatavion Sanders. He ran under a 5'7", which checks the box for me. Came in 6'4", 245.
Did you say under a 5'7"?
Under a 4'7". If I said 5'7",
oh, you said 5'7". I was like, are we talking about is that a
Jalen Widermeyer?
He's still taking strays out there from Nate.
Jalen Widermeyer. What a disappointment, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Dude, practice the 40. It would make my day.
Seriously.
All right. Jatavion Sanders, though, you know, you talk about the athleticism they had at Texas. He checks that box. He's an athletic tight end. Maybe disappointed some people because he wasn't uber athletic, like maybe some people expected him to be. But I also think that you run under a 4'7", Mike, and you're above average for a tight end. So, you know, this is another one of those guys where he ran fast enough, but he just didn't impress people. So they're kind of double counting the combine.
I will say, too, he has an innate ability to just get open. And for a man that large, I really think that you don't need to be super athletic to be a productive tight end. I don't think Jake Ferguson is super athletic, to be honest with you. You know, we've seen guys. What's that?
I don't think Dalton Schultz is super athletic either.
He's not. And we've seen Tyler Boyd be productive in the past too. Gerald Everett. These are guys that are not super super athletic. But, you know, JT Sanders, he gets open on these short little routes. He's a good blocker. I saw them use him as a fullback as well too. I'm not worried about that at all. He's a super productive guy. Let's wrap up tier seven. We got Blake Corum, Jalen Wright, Braylon Allen, Keon Coleman, Xavier Legette, and Jatavion Sanders. So that's great. And, you know, if you always want to look at our rankings, patreon.com/DynastyRewind. Click the tier that's most appropriate for you or check out the 7-day trial. Till next time, everybody. For Nate, I'm Mike. Thanks for listening. All right, everyone, that is going to do it for us this week. But if you're headed to a game, make sure you check out SeatGeek.com. It's your one-stop shop for all things live events. It offers the best price available. Use the promo code DynastyRewind. You'll get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Don't forget, if you want to play some best ball, head on over to Underdog. It's the easiest buy-in in fantasy football. And it's not having to worry about setting your lineups, man. That's what it's all about. So again, underdog.com. Use the promo code REWIND. A 100% match on your first deposit up to $100. Visit our store over at payhip.com/DynastyRewind. That's where you find our roster reviews. That's where you find all of our manuals and everything like that. Head on over there now. Grab some merch at spreadshop.com. Link is down below. And we want to see you in our community. And that is patreon.com/DynastyRewind. But until next time, everybody, for my faithful co-hosts, Chev Nooney and Nate Christian, I'm your host, Michael Bauer. Be kind, please rewind. Thank you for listening.